Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to bring you a fascinating program, and I think this is going to be one of them. We've been talking the last several weeks about the chairs, the three various chairs, chairs of Christianity. And we come across some material that makes it very vivid and very clear exactly what that means. Now, David, not all of our listeners have heard every single one of our programs. Would you mind just taking a minute or two to explain what those three chairs mean? And then we're going to dissect them today.
Very good. Everybody wants to live in the first chair. If you can't believe in Jesus, you have to move a little further down to get in that out of the chair and get into the second chair. And if you don't have any belief at all, you don't go to church, you don't read the Bible, you don't talk Christianity, you're probably living in the third chair. So today when you hear the different chairs that we talk about, we put people in their proper place, in their proper chair. You want to know how to move from the first chair and stay there. And then you want to go to the third chair to learn how to live in the second chair and then move up to the first chair. That's the desire of Giff and I.
Yes.
We're here to talk about important things. Sometimes we laugh and we have a good time. Other times we are dead serious. And some of these things just grab us by the throat. And we're anxious to deal with them again today. So, Giff.
Yes, sir.
First chair.
Yep.
Tell me about that.
Well, you did a very good job of explaining the higher levels. The pattern of these three chairs really affects the entire fabric of a person's life, all three chairs. And if we talk about them and talk about the differences, you'll get a feel for it yourself. No matter where you peel back the fabric, the differences are obvious between these three. Whether you are in the first chair, if you're a second chair believer, or the chair in which influences your entire life. By this point, you are acquainted with a number of the differences between the three chairs, because we've talked about it substantially.
And we're going to be different today. We're going to we talked a lot about that last week and the week
yes,
before.
Yes, we did. Yes, we
today,
did.
Today, we really nailed it down to three special things that deal with each of the chairs, all right?
Very good.
First chair deals with what?
Well, there's all three of them here, but the first chair believers are most interested in people. Yeah, that's the key word.
Right.
First chair is interested in people. And the second chair, these believers are mostly interested in possessions. They think that material things is the high priority for them. And the third chair people, well, they have a sense of what we call purposelessness. In other words, they really don't have any particular goal in mind, no direction to travel, they just are. Well, now you take a look at those three things, and before you find out exactly where you are, let's try to move about and see what happens. If you are a second chair believer, you may feel more convicted the more you read and think about the various thought processes that make up the difference. The subject often hits close to home. But if you have been a first chair believer for some time, you might almost be able to finish my sentence because you have thought this through for yourself. You don't really need much clarification. You already experienced a competition between people, possessions, and purposelessness. If you go through these issues, Before long, you'll find out that you can loan somebody some books out of the library, and that would greatly stimulate their thinking about becoming a more committed Christian. But the books really belong to believers, for the most part, if you're reading Christian material. So spiritual biographies can be a powerful aid. And the more you read the lives of these great Christians of history, the more that you see these same themes repeated over and over. Christian biographies act as a living parable, helping to explain the way God works with men. Many people have observed that parables start off like pictures, something we can see. Then they become mirrors where we can see ourselves and our lives reflected. Eventually, they become windows through which we can see truth played out in all areas of everyone's life. It is my prayer that these next areas that we'll discuss will go over all three of those options, and they'll offer you a clear picture of a mature life in Christ. Serve as a mirror for your own life is part of our goal or our ambition. And we want to create a window through which God can help you move towards your firsthand faith.
Let me deal for a few minutes. In fact, we want to deal with first chair for the first 15, 20 minutes, maybe, of this program. This is going to take some time. We're not in a hurry, and maybe you're driving 70 miles an hour saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But it's not going to happen, because this is too important. Whenever first chair believers are nearby, their love for people is very apparent. Whether they are introverts or extroverts, quiet or expressive, humorous or sober, they're always looking for ways to care for the needs of others. They invite people into their homes. They get together with them elsewhere, and they reach out to be with people. There are so many ways that a main theme becomes a part of our life. People. In the early church, when they got together, they shared everything in common. Christians sold their possessions to take care of one another. They gave generously to assist churches going through the hard times. And they supported Paul and other evangelists who took the gospel to an unsaved world. Rather than thinking about their own needs, they thought of others first. And their own needs were taken care of in the process. I'm thankful for all the churches who have a department of taking care of people. We have a whole committee that when you're sick, we bring meals to your house.
You have a committee that does just that at your church?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
We have a phone call. It says, hey, so-and-so is sick today, can't make supper. How about taking a supper for so-and-so tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that works fabulous. I was in the hospital for a couple days.
Yeah.
When I got home, here come meals for me, Dave Glennon. Do I need a meal? I said, man, I'm hungry, yes.
Sure.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
That's
deeply appreciated.
Everybody loves to be.
That's first chair action.
First chair action.
Yes.
King David, he was a first chair believer.
Yep.
When King Saul was after David trying to take his life out of jealousy, David had more than one opportunity to kill him. And one time David's men had Saul trapped in a cave. On another occasion, David sneaked into the tent where Saul was sleeping. And on another occasion, did David harm him? He knew that God had made Saul king over Israel. He's not willing to place his own eventual right to the throne over that of another king. Even though God had promised that he would be king of Israel, he befriended Saul's son, Jonathan. And after Jonathan died, he took care of Mephibosheth. Jonathan's crippled son, Mephibosheth. Can you say that? I bet you can't spell it.
I can't.
And David did because he cared for people. That's one sign of a first chair. You see, you can be around people for a while, and all of a sudden you can say to them, hey,
that's
you know,
right.
you don't know what this is, but you're a first chair.
You're a first chair person, yeah. Yes.
And the first chair people love those who the Lord loves. Why don't you talk about that for a moment?
Okay. How about when you commit to the Lord, you become committed to what he is committed to. Isn't that fair to say? What does the first chair believer love people? That is why that first chair people are so loving. There is no doubt about the primary commitment of the Lord. He loves people, period. What was the Lord doing in the Garden of Eden but walking and talking with the first couple of his creation? He created people in his own image so that we can have a relationship with him unlike anything else in the universe. Jesus even died because the Father genuinely loved his people. And it's written in John 3. We've all studied that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I believe just every one of our listeners know where to find those two verses, don't they? John 3:16 and 17. Flash forward to the end of the Bible. And what does it say in the book of Revelation? Well, if you read it carefully, you can see that the Lord's heart revealed. In fact, it happened in just the last few chapters of the Bible. You see people everywhere. And God's choosing to be right in there with them. The action's very clear. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Verse 3, I'll read it to you. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. The God himself will be with them and be their God. Boy, isn't that clear? That's right. You talk about first chair people, David. I think that's it. What do you think?
Yes, sir. If you embrace the Lord in total commitment, you will embrace his love for others. Paul didn't mix any words about the importance of love for people when he wrote perhaps some of the most well-known words of love in the history of the whole world. We're talking about first-year people who love. So they would love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am still absolutely nothing. Although I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I'm not sure the world lives this way anymore. The world gets settled in their house, shut the door, don't bother us, and take care of themselves and forget who's out there without supper.
Isn't that a shame? All too often, I believe you're right, David. That is the world we live in. However, we still have those close first chair people who do care and do prepare meals for others. I think that's important.
Yes. First chair people humbly serve those who the Lord serves. If we tackle all the stuff about first chair, and I think that's the most important chair. Everybody's trying to get to the first chair, so why don't we talk more about that?
That's a good idea.
And when we give out that information, it's pleasing unto God. And if you're here, you're there in your kitchen or wherever you're hearing it today, if you're in your car, you're still challenged by asking yourself, hey, what chair does our family live in? Where do we sit? And you can take it as a whole family, or you can take it as each individual. You can take it as where does mom sit? And where does dad sit? And how about our children? Are they willing to sacrifice too to be a part of the first chair? And would they qualify for the first chair? So, hey, there's a ton of good thinking here that challenges you.
Yes,
dig deep into your very heart and says, yeah, I got to do something better than this. God is expecting me to be better than this.
That's right.
And to sit in the first chair, you have to be a special person to be a first chair church.
Ooh.
You are going to be an attractive church for all who walk by the door. Man, I got to go in there. So my mom found the Lord. She went downtown, 16-year-old kid, and the door was open to the storefront church. Only four or five pews in there, 10 people. But the music they were singing reached out and went on to the street and the sidewalk and into her little heart. And, man, she was attracted. She said, I got to go in there. I got to go. And then she went in, I got to go in often. And her dad kicked her out of the home because he thought she had a devil. And then she said, you don't want me to go to that church anymore. And he said, that's right, you go to that church and you're out of here.
Wow.
And finally he came and said, okay, you're still going. I know you are. Every time you get out of here, you go to that little church. And he said, I want you to pack your bags because you have to make a decision today whether you are going to stay in this house and not go to that church or take your bags and live somewhere else and go. And my mom at 16, brokenhearted.
Packed her bags
and walked away from a house full of 10 children and mom and dad. Oh, that story, that's a unique story.
Boy, it surely is.
She walked the streets of the city weeping, wondering where in the world she's going to go. No place to go. Where's she going to sleep tonight? There's a little sign on one of the yards that says, needed a full-time stay-in help for our house.
The Lord led her in that path.
And she lived there for 10 years probably,
taking
care of those people, and they took care of her. Yeah. I didn't mean to get into all that. But
that's a good example of first-chair people, though. You're right. And that's your mother.
Yes.
That was your mother.
That's where I came from. That's why I have some things in me that I always say, hey, that's my mom. That's where my mom is.
Wow. What a tremendous story. That's a first chair person. She sacrificed everything she knew to walk with the Lord. Now, not too many people can say they have done that.
Well, I love to go to church and see people that I know their first church. First chair.
Yeah, first chair people.
I want to shake their hand. I want to kind of pat them on the back. You don't have to say, hey, I know you're a first chair. They don't even know what that is, right?
Yeah, right. They don't know.
They haven't even heard. How many times have you heard this message preached in the church?
Yeah, that's right.
It's new material.
In fact, you're the only one I know who has done that. Yes, that's very powerful. Well, what happened next here, David? Tell me more about these first chair people. You have me keenly interested in your words.
Well, you know, when I preached this message, I put three big chairs, beautiful chairs, up on the platform.
That's a good
idea. Take out the pulpit.
Yep.
And when I talk about first chair people, I sit in the first chair.
Uh-huh.
And when I move to third chair people that I want to talk about, I go over and sit in the third chair. Uh-huh. And then I come into the second chair to talk about people. There, you could see their heads turn and say, it's a great illustrated message that only takes three chairs, and you only have to get up and get out of one and get in the other.
Yeah, pretty simple.
I preached that in Williamsport one day, and a man came up and just couldn't get over the message. And I went back there to preach about a year later, and he said, Dave, he said, are you going to preach that message again today? I said, no, I'm not.
He wanted to hear it again.
He said, I'm going to get the preacher to bring you back here and preach that message again. Yeah. We need to hear it.
Yeah, that's right. That is very effective.
Well, that's why we're here today on the radio.
That's right.
You're riding in your car and you're saying, what are these guys talking about? Brother, we're talking about something that's valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Valuable, important.
Well, these people visualize themselves moving from chair to chair to chair, and they all want to be first chair people, but they have to swallow hard. Yes. Do I fit that category or do I not? Yes. Tell me more.
You know, the Apostle Paul knew how to talk about first chair people. And he could describe them beautifully, okay? I consider it necessary to send you to Epaphroditus, my brother, since he was longing for you all. He holds such men in esteem because the work of Christ, he came to close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service. The work of Christ that Epaphroditus came close to death to accomplish was meeting the needs of a group of people that sounds just like Jesus. That's the kind of love and characteristics that I want to be a part of. I want to go to a church that sits in the first chair and loves me.
Yes.
And wants to shake my hand and wants to call me when I'm sick and wants to feed me when I can't care for myself. You know, I'm not a cook. My wife is in the hospital five times this last year.
Yeah.
And if you're hungry and you're the only one in the house, the kids are gone.
Yep.
You look for anything. I found that I could cook a hot dog.
That's cooking.
People laugh at me, but you know, I learned to buy brown bread.
Yeah.
Healthy bread.
Yeah.
Put some peanut butter.
Sure.
I saw, hey, there's a whole jar of peanut butter.
That's right.
Judy never serves me peanut butter. She's not here.
She's in the hospital.
I'm trying. So I get the brown bread out, I get the peanut butter, and then I get the hot dog.
Yes.
If you buy the real hot dog from the store that really has something to it, you know, Angus.
Yes. Ooh, yeah, good ones, yes.
Okay. I bet I've eaten 100 hot dogs. Well, if you come to my house, I'll sit you in the first chair and feed you a hot dog.
That's wonderful. Well, you got an education out of it. You learned to cook hot dogs.
You know what I told we were having a staff meeting. Uh-huh. I told the whole staff in our church that what I was doing.
You're going to cook hot dogs for everybody.
And then it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. And they said, Dave, call your wife. Tell her that we're all coming over there for lunch today in 30 minutes. And you, Dave, are the cook. And they all got jumped in the cars and went to my house. Totally. You know,
unannounced.
And I cooked them all a hot dog with the
mustard, ketchup, relish. That's good.
They loved it. Anyway.
You were a first chair person. You were taking care of people. It doesn't matter, Dave, if it was a hot dog or if it was a filet mignon. You prepared food for other people.
That's right.
That's very good. Good for you.
That's right.
Yes.
So, first chair people pray for those whom the Lord prays for. We probably run out of time. I haven't watched the clock, but I can see them over there waving their arms at us. It's time.
The engineers are putting the flag up.
We got a couple more minutes.
All right.
What chair do you sit in?
Thank you for asking that question, because, you know, Slipping, as I've been studying this material, I was, you know, from the get-go, swearing up and down that I was absolutely a first-chair person. But occasionally, as I was reading through some of these examples, I would think that, hey, you know, maybe could I be a second-chair person, which isn't all that bad. That's a whole lot better than still a Christian person. You know, you can be a second-chair person and still be a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. And so there's no problem there.
So tell me about your wife, Kathy. What kind of chair does she sit in?
I am very fortunate. I have the number one wife on the face of the earth. She is a first chair person.
First chair.
She's always thinking about other people. Not only me, my mother's going through health difficulties at this moment. Who was with her all day today? It was my wife. She is definitely a first chair person. David, we must say goodbye. It's unfortunate that our time seems to go so fast. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell our listeners that we're going to pick up tomorrow in this same area, because this subject is so important and so near and dear. I believe that there's more to be said about it, and we should at least do one more day on this subject.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about second chair people.
Okay.
We're going to talk about why possessions take over their life.
Yeah.
They got to buy everything and fill their house full and don't touch me. Yeah. Second chair people, you want to know how to get to the first chair? Boy, you better be tuned.
Tomorrow.
Till the next time.
Get the runners saying bye-bye for now.
I'm Dave Colon here. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.